go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome everyone to this episode of Deep Space High, sci-fi TV review podcast where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi TV. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
So Chris, I just realized we have three episodes after this one of The Mandalorian to cover, and then we have to find a new show to talk about.
Oh yeah, you're right. What are we going to do?
I don't know. There's a lot of interesting ones out there. I think Discovery Season 3 for Star Trek is still airing.
I don't know. I've heard that Season 3 might be good, but I don't know. I'm kind of iffy going into it. But what else have we got?
We have, you know, either one of those first three seasons of Discovery. We haven't touched on Orville. We could cover The Expanse. There's one with Hugh Laurie on HBO. I think it's called Avenue 5. That's like a, I'm not really sure. I just know it's a sci-fi show. I think they're kind of on a space voyage or something. So we do have a lot of, we have plenty of options to choose from.
I don't know. What are you thinking? Do we go back to Star Trek? Do Discovery and then do Orville? Because, I mean, when is Orville coming out? Because I'd like to do Orville.
I don't know when Orville Season 3 is coming out. I don't even know if they've filmed it.
I don't know. I've heard it's going to be its last season. They're done after the season.
Yeah, mainly because Seth MacFarlane, I think he signed on with either Netflix or NBC Universal. Orville Season 3 will be on Hulu.
Well, I thought they signed with Hulu to do it with them.
No. I mean, when Fox was bought by Disney, Disney got Orville, and they just said that they're going to put the third season on Hulu. And future seasons on Hulu.
Huh.
And then Seth MacFarlane left Fox and signed a deal with, I think it's NBC Universal, to write and produce shows with them.
Huh.
So that's kind of why Orville might be ending. He was kind of like, I think after these three seasons, I will have done everything I wanted to do with the Orville. And then he can go and do those deals.
Okay. Well, I mean, what about season three though? I mean, do we have any idea on this?
No idea. Eh? Like I said, I don't even know if it's been filmed yet.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
So, what are you thinking then? I guess Discovery would be the next logical choice. We can run through seasons one and two of Discovery, and then season three would probably be wrapped up by the time we do one and two.
And we can, yeah, it might
you
be.
Know, we can do season three.
We'll have to look into that. We'll do some planning. And then, and fans, if you want to weigh in, you know, reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram and let us know what you think we should cover. Maybe there's a show out there that we're not thinking of or that we didn't bring up that's well worth covering.
There definitely is. Oh, Battlestar Galactica would be another one. You've never seen it. I love it. That's a great, I would love to rewatch that.
Yeah, we could possibly do that. I was trying to keep it more modern, but you know, we might have to go back and touch on some of these shows from 15, 20 years ago.
I mean, again, like I've said this in the past, Battlestar Galactica could arguably be the best sci-fi show ever made.
We'll see. We'll see what we come up with, or if there's any requests out that come in. If there's any, if anyone's got any requests, like I said, send them our way. We'll look into them.
Yeah, definitely.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
All right, well, what do we got in store for this week's episode, Steve?
Well, this week's episode of Deep Space High is a goodie. We are talking about Chapter 13, Season 2, Episode 5 of The Mandalorian, entitled The Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. This was great. This was great right off the bat. I love how they did not, like, build up to Ahsoka. They just went fucking straight for it. You know, Ahsoka-centered episode.
Yeah. And here is that spoiler warning we've been giving to y'all the last couple weeks. So, spoiler warning, we will spoil the shit out of the spoiling episode.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, everybody kind of knew that Ahsoka was going to be in it eventually. We are more than halfway through the season, so.
Still, I want to get it out there just in case no one has seen it yet, or someone hasn't seen it yet. They can't say, well, you ruined it. Well, I said spoiler, so spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, boy, but was it a great episode, though? That's for damn sure.
Yes. And let's get into the plot. The plot, there wasn't really much of a plot. There was, this episode was heavy action and got some good backstory. And some potential leaping points. So let's go ahead and we'll summarize the first part of this episode. So like you said, right off the bat, we get to see Ahsoka fighting I guess they're Imperials. They don't really clarify. They don't really look Imperial, but she is fighting some mercs from town.
Subtitles. No, the subtitles described it as Scout's Guard. That's what they call them. They said Scout's Guard, and they were saying random noises. But that's how the subtitles described them as.
Interesting. But, like I said, we see Ahsoka right off the bat fighting with some enemies. She meets with the magistrate on top of, and on the magistrate's on this gate. Ahsoka's like, are you going to give me that information? Don't know what accent that was, but it was something. And she's like, no. And Ahsoka's like, I'll give you one day to reconsider. And then that's kind of when Mando lands on the planet. Mando goes in the town. Finds out that the town is kind of being ran in fear. I mean, its inhabitants refuse to even talk to Mando. The lady vendor who was selling something walked away as soon as Mando opened his mouth. The gentleman with the two children was like, you can't talk to them and you can't talk to me. And that's when the guards intervene and were like, oh, the magistrate wants to see you. And she offers him, you know, a pretty nice spear of Baskar to hunt down Ahsoka and to kill her, which he's like, Baskar. Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, this is perfect because I can use the information you're going to give me. I can hunt her down, figure out and get this quest over with and then be on my merry way.
Oh, yeah. You played it perfectly. And you kind of would be disappointed if you didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so then we, you know, Mando treks into the woods, hunts down Ahsoka, which for a former Jedi, she's pretty feisty in initiating the first attack, which is un-Jedi-like, but, I mean, technically she's no longer a Jedi, so.
Mm-hmm.
But initiates the first attack, and.
Interesting that the lightsaber blades could not penetrate the Baskar armor.
No, that's something we've mentioned before on the show, that Baskar is strong enough to deflect lightsabers.
I know, and but it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually see it in live action. And no, did you notice the noise? Could you hear the noise? Especially later in the episode when they were fighting with that pure Baskar blade? Spoilers?
Yeah, it has this ring to it.
Yeah, even the lightsabers, the white lightsabers sound... Is it white lightsaber or white saber?
They're just white lightsabers, so I mean, we'll talk about those more in a second.
I mean, yeah,
because I'm gonna go into the I wanted to talk about when Ahsoka gets to sit down with the child, and we discover more backstory than I was totally expecting to get out of this episode, or even this second season. She, really? You know, she kind of uses, yeah, I didn't expect to get this much backstory. I knew we'd probably get a name, maybe. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but something brief. where she kind of connects with him through the Force and is able to see his, she's able to Force mind meld with Baby Yoda. I'm sorry. His name is now Grogu.
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 Oh, I put the R after the O. Grogu.
Yeah, Grogu.
My bad. Spelled it wrong.
So apparently, I've been doing some research, and apparently what she was doing is something that Jedi do to infants and babies. It's kind of a sharing of emotions. And what they do is they do it to try and teach detachment at such a young age, to try and detach them or prevent them from start feeling attachment, which comes into a play later in the episode, actually.
It does. And it does. But more on Grogu's backstory. Find out he was a part of the Jedi Temple. He's just, you know, isn't a clone of Yoda or Yaddle or anyone in particular. He was born around the time Anakin was born. He grew up in the temple, had several masters, as he's 50, given he, you know, so he would have several masters, and I'm sure, unless, you know, Yoda trained him personally, none of them would see it out till his knighthood. And then at some point when Order 66 came along, some Jedi, or somebody, it might not even have been a Jedi, was able to get Grogu, sneak him out of the temple, and put him in hiding. And he's kind of been in hiding ever since.
Yeah, I think the way that she described it, I think she said his mind became dark and he became very lost and alone because he had to suppress his powers to hide the, you know, so he wouldn't be killed.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, even though he's he seems like an infant being 50 years old, he was 30 years old at the time, maybe even a tad younger. But 30 years old at the time of Order 66. So to be that just, small.
Oh my gosh, there's just so many questions right off the bat. One, who rescued him? Two, did Yoda trade him? Yeah. Two, did, you know, is Yoda, could Yoda be his father? I mean, that's plausible. That's a theory that you brought up before. Like, maybe that's not, you know, a clone of Yoda. Maybe that's just Yoda's kid, you know? One of the other Jedi Masters, I can't remember what his name was, the council permitted him to have kids because...
Yeah, I think it was Ki-Adi-Mundi.
Yeah, because his species really was... Yeah, his species was dying out and they needed to repopulate the species and it was permitted within a species.
I don't think it's canon, but his species is like 70% female, 30% male.
That's weird.
You know, the males are really important to repopulate the species.
That would almost sound like a fun species if you were male.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if it was Yoda's kid, we would have known more about him, or Yoda would have tracked it down and had him with him on Dagobah. So I don't think it's Yoda's kid. I just think it's another one of his species. Like Ahsoka is a Togruta, which the other one, at least in the movies we see, is Shakti with, you know, the similar tendrils, which is the blue and white things on top of her head, but with a red skin versus an orange skin.
Shakti has an orange skin?
That she had Shakti has a red skin. Ahsoka has an orange skin.
Oh, I thought she had a red skin.
No. Who?
Ahsoka.
No, hers is orange.
I thought they both had red. I didn't think either one of them had orange skin.
No. No, now you sidetracked me. Where was I? What was I talking about?
Oh, I have no idea. You were talking about the species of Ahsoka?
Yeah, but how do I get to remember... species of Ahsoka?
Oh, that I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy.
Oh, I just... You, like I said. Oh, we were talking
about... You're asking about the stoner to remember something.
Yeah. I know. We were talking about Grogu, and we were saying, well, he's just another of his species, because there could be multiple... you know, of Yoda species inside.
Well, I thought Jedi Order. His species was rare.
It is rare. Maybe he's, you know, he's rare, but they live in 900 years, so it's not impossible. Just because he's rare doesn't mean he's, you know, not impossible to find.
But does that mean that you know, if you're a member of a species, that you're going to be more likely to be a Force user? Or
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing that we know about Yoda's species, and that's pretty much nothing. I don't think we even have a name for his species. We don't know where they come from. I think the reason they're so rare is because George Lucas wanted a mystery around Yoda's and Grogu's and Yaddle's species. Maybe they're not as rare as we think. We just don't see them because he wants them to be mysterious.
I don't know.
Where do they come from?
Well, maybe we'll find out. I mean, we answered one question, but now we have 10 more. So we'll probably find out eventually.
Let's talk about Rosie O'Donnell or Rosie O'Donnell. Oh my God. Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. Now, I know you haven't seen Rebels, but how familiar with her are you?
The actress Ahsoka?
Ahsoka.
I mean, I've seen Clone Wars, so I know a fair amount about her.
Okay, so what did you think of Dawson's portrayal of Ahsoka?
I thought it wasn't bad. I was expecting a little bit more quick-witted, but then again, that was her younger, and this is her older, so maybe she kind of wised up, mellowed out a bit, you know?
Well, definitely, because now she's gone through so much. You know, she was a commander in the Clone War. She was a Jedi. She was exiled from the Jedi Order.
When I first heard the casting, I was a little concerned. I didn't know for sure how it was going to work out, but I think she played the role pretty well. I would have liked to a little bit better choreography, but
yeah, she definitely needs some work with lightsaber and like sword fighting skills. But
she seemed just a little slow, a little slower than a Jedi should be, or at least a former Jedi.
Then again, you know, these people didn't seem like much of a match. So like. We'll get into it a little later, but it didn't seem like she was really stressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like walking through it.
I mean, it kind of was. This was a cakewalk for her. I mean, fuck, she fought Vader and, you know, walked away from it. So.
Yep. Well, one of the things that got me about Rosario Dawson's portrayal is the voice. I am so used to Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice actress who, you know, voiced her in both Clone Wars and Rebels. I am so used to that voice that it was weird hearing the live action version of Ahsoka talk.
Yeah, I've seen the episode
three times. I still can't get used to it. And it's probably going to take some time just because I've heard Ashley Eckstein's version so much. And that's just, I mean, she looks like Ahsoka. She kind of has the movements and, you know, body posture and body language of Ahsoka. But it's just hearing the voice and it just, you know, it's not the original voice actress. And you're just like, it's tough. It's going to take some getting used to.
I actually, you know, I thought about that myself before the episode. And I actually, as I watched it twice, I didn't watch it three times. But, you know, when I watched it, I actually thought she didn't do a bad job. You could tell that she watched, or at least, you know, trained with, or maybe even worked with her to try. I mean, but, you know, you can't help it when you have two different actresses. You're going to have a different voice.
Well, yeah, I know. And that's one of the things where that was one of my big questions was, is Rosario Dawson just going to play, you know, kind of play the physical part of the role and maybe they'll dub Eckstein's voice over it. And I was like, that might be weird, but they could do that. And I was like, well, I got my answer. They're not adding her voice into it. So it's just going to take some getting used to.
I think that's the right call. Honestly, I don't think I would have liked that if they did, because I just don't think it would have worked out.
Well, here, I'll tell you this. Darth Maul is not voiced by the same actor who plays him.
Well, I mean, Darth Maul had only like two speaking lines.
True. Okay, well, in Solo, Ray Park, who physically played him, and I think it's San Witwer, was the voice actor. that they dubbed over him in the live action movie. Now, granted, that was for a brief scene.
On a hologram.
True.
So,
but it could be done.
I mean, it could be. It just, I mean, it could be. But
could be. What'd you think of her lightsabers?
They were different. The sound was different. They were a little bit slower when they ignited.
The sound really threw me off. Because they sounded so different. And I was not expecting that.
Yeah, the sound that when they ignited, they were slower than a normal lightsaber, it looked like. And even when they were turning off, it looked slower. It was weird. It was almost like they were trying to do it in a dramatic fashion, but no, I think that's just the lightsabers.
Maybe because it's the crystals that that fuel them. They're, you know, her crystals are former red crystals, so a Sith would bleed them and turn them red. And when she killed an Inquisitor and took their crystals, she kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? Not healed.
Purified them?
She purified the crystals, and now that's why we kind of have a white lightsaber, or she has a white lightsaber. But I also like her hilts. They're like... they reminded me of katanas. Like, one was really long and with a slight curve, not quite as much as Count Dooku's, and the other one was a shorter one with a slight curve. And I really like seeing that different style of lightsabers. It's different. I liked her lightsabers. It was, again, just like getting used to her voice. It's a new thing that we got to get used to, because we're used to the higher pitch when, like, Obi-Wan's or anyone else's would ignite, versus this more of a low humming, a very slow ignition and a very slow retraction of the blades.
Well, I'm curious to see, you know, what it's going to look like and what it's going to sound like when it goes up against the darksaber.
If it does, are we going to see Ahsoka again this season? I don't even know.
I mean, that's a fair question.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there wasn't much to the plot. It was a very simple but very informative episode. And in the back half of this episode, pretty much the last 20 minutes, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, give or take a couple minutes. I mean, it was really Mando and Ahsoka teaming up to fight off this magistrate. I think you said it was Magistrate Morgan.
Yeah, it was Morgan Elsbeth.
Morgan Elsbeth. So they pretty much, you know, freed the town from her rule. And
yeah, I guess Ahsoka was trying to get information about her master. And that's why she was trying so hard to get to the village.
Yeah, and it was great seeing them team up in a different way. Mando really didn't have much to do with the fight. He kind of jetpacked in, killed two guards who were going to execute the prisoners, and then Ahsoka pretty much fended off
everyone else. Yeah.
and then that
scene kind of, and like, I was entertained with the Mando, because I don't know the name of the guy, the henchman, but
his character didn't have a name. It was more of just, he was a merc. He was just a mercenary. Yeah. All
right, well, we'll go with henchman. It's easy enough. He dies, so, spoiler alert. But it's how he dies or why he dies kind of confuses me, because he's kind of playing the, oh, who's going to win? Because, you know, the noise that they make with the lightsaber blades and the pure Baskar spear is really cool, and it's really loud and noticeable, and they pretty much just out of the wall.
They pretty much just stand there, talk a little bit, you know. Mando's ready to draw, kind of. The mercenary is slowly lifting his gun like they're about to have this standoff, but they're kind of just chatting and listening to the fight ensue between the magistrate and Ahsoka.
The henchman's like, who do you think's going to win? I mean, your side can win, but so can my side.
It was a very odd scene.
No, I mean, I knew what he was doing. It was clever. Was kind of trying to distract him, see what happens, potentially. You know, I thought he was trying to use it to escape. You know, we're both honorable guys who will die for the right cause. This isn't it.
Yeah.
Let's see who wins. He's bought his time. I guess it was your side. So puts down his gun. I wouldn't have been surprised if he just turned around and walked away, you know, coward-like.
But yeah, that...
he drew his gun and tried to get the best of Mando.
Tried to. Mando's quick on the draw, and I don't mean in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Oy, oy.
I mean, he could be quick there.
Could be.
But
if you can't take off one helmet, I'm sure you couldn't take off the other.
Okay.
All right. Well,
so
hang on. I have a question for you, actually. Okay. So could Mando actually be force sensitive? Kind of like Han Solo is a little bit force sensitive, and he's got that ability to where even at 50 something or 60, you know, in The Force Awakens, he's still able to shoot guys and kill them without even having to look at them. You know, they say that it's partly because he's a little bit force sensitivity, and that's why he was able to sense Leia. He had that connection with Leia. You know, could Mando have that bit of force sensitivity? Because that's what I was waiting for Ahsoka to say, was that, you know, I can't be the one to train him. You need to be the one to train him. And, you know, he needs to find like a Jedi Master or something. That would have been cool, but.
No, I don't.
I knew that wasn't going to happen, but.
I think.
But do you think he might have a little bit?
Probably not. I just think he's aware, because if you think about it.
Almost like Finn, you know.
No, here's where I'm going to go with this. I don't think he is, because. And I'll reference the scene. Well, he's quick on. He's just very aware, because when the Merc drops his gun, he gives a quick smile, and then he turns and reaches to pull from lower back holster. Mando sees it right off the bat, and then it's just quick on the draw to kill him.
Yeah.
Now, but... another thing I'll reference is when the gentleman from earlier in the episode who was kind of with the kids, and he told Mando not to talk to us, when he came out from his home or whatever home and was looking at Mando and kind of like thanking him, he warns Mando that there's a droid coming, you know, behind them. And I just
He says, look out, or he shouted like, look out. But I think he was already turning. I think he already knew that it was there before.
No, I don't think.
And then he got a headshot. I mean, that was a perfect headshot. You know, to turn around that quickly, and yeah, but to beat a robot before getting the shot off, and that's not just any robot. That's a descendant of HK-47 for my Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know the storyline for HK-47, he started his own robot army of. And supposedly that was a similar or a generation down the line of that army, those robots that.
No, I don't think he's force sensitive. I just think the villager warned him and Mando was able to neutralize the threat.
No, I don't know. Maybe something to look forward to.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm not saying like he's going to be a Jedi, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody says that he got a little bit of.
So let's talk about the fight between Ahsoka and the Magistrate. So, I mean, Ahsoka made the fight look, you could tell Ahsoka was fighting an inferior opponent. She was lazadazical or whatever the word is, you know, in some of her moves and swings and, you know, parries and blocks.
She was taunting her.
Not taunting. She was just, I won't even say toying.
She was drawing out the fight.
Yeah,
she wasn't trying to win because
no, and she wasn't trying to kill either because she has information that she wants.
And I think that, you know, she didn't end it until she lost one of her lightsabers into the water. And then she got pissed and was like, okay, I'm done. And she switched her lightsaber style to her old style and, you know, ripped the spear right out of her hand. And was like, tell me what I want to know.
Yeah, that's when we find out she is trying to get information on Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Now,
I say that super excited with a giant ass smile, but a lot of people are like,
what? Oh, yeah, no, I was too.
What? What? What?
I didn't know Thrawn was already in Rebels. So I thought that they were making, because I didn't know there were new books about Thrawn either. I thought there was just the OG Legends books on Thrawn.
Nope, there's
so I was thinking like, oh shit, this is awesome, like I can't wait, like I'm so excited that this is, I didn't even think that this was the route that we're gonna go down. I didn't even think about Thrawn, to be honest with you, so I was really excited when she said Thrawn.
I didn't either, but it's yeah, hopefully they pay that off sometime in the near future, because that would be exciting.
Yeah, it would, but I mean, it would make sense. Makes sense why the Empire's still kind of around.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's finish this quick recap and we can get into Thrawn and some of the other things that were mentioned in the last half of the episode. So she name drops Thrawn. You know, Ahsoka and Mando successfully freed this town, and Ahsoka, the original deal Mando and Ahsoka had was if Mando helps free this town and get the information that she's looking for, that Ahsoka will train Grogu. Damn, what was Baby Yoda's name? Grogu. Oh, I know. Grogu. Okay,
you're the one struggling. That's going to take this week. My goodness.
Yeah, that's going to take some getting used to. I'm just used to calling him Baby Yoda or the child.
I know. I said the same thing because I was watching. Actually, I watched this episode with Mom. I'm like, God damn, that's going to be tough. I like Baby Yoda better. I'm going to stick with Baby Yoda.
I think a lot of fans are going to stick with Baby Yoda. I think, you know, there's probably going to be a good split that, you know, start saying Grogu, who refer to him as Baby Yoda and still refer to him as the child. So, but, you know, Ahsoka walks back on that original deal. She's like, I can't train him. And as she mentioned earlier in the episode where we get an Anakin reference, is she has seen Jedi Knights fully trained and some of the best Jedi Knights that the Order had fall because of their fear and their attachments.
All right. I mean, she was definitely referencing Anakin because that's exactly what happened with Anakin.
That's, you know, spot on. She was his apprentice, and you know, when she learned he was Vader, it was just you know, devastating to her.
And that's why she won't train him, because it's,
yeah, well, she doesn't want to lead Grogu on that path, because Mando has grown, or Grogu has grown such an attachment to Din Djarin that, you know, she doesn't want to, you know, feed that fear and that attachment and use that attachment to lead him on a path to darkness, which makes sense. I mean, she saw it with her master and now she doesn't, and it pretty much destroyed the galaxy.
So
she tells Mando, she goes, I won't train him, but another quest you can go on. If you go to Tython, take a baby Yoda to the... Sorry, God damn it. Now I'm going to do it. I'm going to use all three names probably. But if you take the child to the ancient Jedi ruins on the planet Tython, you set him on top of the seeing... I think it was the seeing thing on...
Stone.
Seeing stone that's on top of the mountain.
And she said, place Grogu on the seeing stone on top of the mountain so Grogu may use the force to, you know, so he can, because apparently the planet Tython is actually the origin of the Jedi. Back then they were called the Jedi. And this was before there was a division between the light and the dark. These were the earliest Jedi Rangers. And the mountain that she's talking about is connected to the Force. Because
extremely connected to the Force.
Right. Earlier in the episode, she described that the Force is kind of energy that flows through all living things. Well, that includes planets. And this planet is a central point of the Force, and supposedly if Baby Yoda is placed, you know, with the seeing stone on top of the mountain, you can use that as like a channel through the Force, and if Baby Yoda calls out, he can potentially call one of the Jedi who are still alive and connected to the Force, might, you know, might feel him and come find him.
Yeah, kind of, you're almost spot on. she wants the child to choose his own path. So if Mando puts him on there, this very, you know, force sensitive place, if the child is on the Seeing Stone and refuses to reach out to the Force, then he doesn't want to be trained. He doesn't, you know, he just will let his powers fade and just be a somewhat normal being. Or he could reach out using the Force, which it's not him reaching out to a specific individual, but it's like posting an ad on Craigslist saying, hey, young Jedi. Oh, this sounds terrible.
That does sound terrible.
I know, but but hey, it's essentially
Jedi here. If you want him, come get him.
I know, but it's more of a place to open up and let other Force-sensitive beings, both light and dark, let them aware of your presence. And if someone feels his presence, then they could then track down Grogu and train him. And this is where we could see Luke in a future season, because we know he's trying to start a new academy. He's likely going to be reaching out through the Force, trying to find Force-sensitive children or Force-sensitive people who he could take under his wing and train to be a new Jedi.
Potentially. I don't know how they would do that, though, because they would have to do, like, they would have to CGI him or get a new actor to play Luke. And I don't know if they want to do that the long term, or
I'm not saying long term. It could really just be a brief scene. And maybe that's what happens towards the end of the series, is Luke comes to take Grogu into the new academy, and maybe he's only there for a brief scene, and maybe he doesn't have any speaking lines. Maybe it is CGI. Maybe, you know, God, what's his name? Who plays Bucky Barnes in the MCU? Sebastian Stan. There we go. He has a pretty good resemblance to a young Mark Hamill.
You think so?
Yeah, there's look up some, like, it's not really fan art, but there's photos comparing young Mark Hamill, and they have a very similar bone structure and facial structure. And, you know, I think with some makeup, they can kind of make him not spot on, but they could make him look Luke-like.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to look. So I don't know. When I watch Civil War, I can't imagine him as Luke. You know, it's just kind of hard to see it.
Look it up. I recommend, you know, there's people who have been wanting him cast as a younger Luke, either for a couple scenes in Mandalorian or maybe a mini series or something, to kind of tell the story of how he's starting the new order. I think he would be the favorite if they were to recast a younger version of Luke.
I just looked it up, and I kind of can see it.
Yeah.
Now that I'm looking at it, but it's weird. I don't know. It would be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe Luke would answer the caller and end up tracking Mando and Grogu down. Maybe it's someone else like Ezra Bridger, who I know you're not familiar with, but I bring him up a lot. I've brought him up a lot in the last couple episodes, but he was someone who was trained by a former Jedi. He wasn't exactly a Jedi, but he knows his way with the Force. This time he would probably be in his late 20s. So he might not be a full knight, but he would know his way around and be able to train Grogu, at least get him through the next 15 to 20 years of his life. Or yeah, maybe it's someone new. Maybe we meet a brand new Jedi. Or shit, maybe even Sith come after him, and now he's got to fight off, you know, dark users. Maybe someone from the Knights of Ren, or maybe someone from wherever. He's obviously going to have to fight off Moff Gideon.
I mean, a fun possibility would be Mace Windu.
Snoke.
That would be a fun one. Snoke. Well, I mean, if we're going off of the previous episode, Snoke's not necessarily around yet, because they're still trying to create Snoke.
Yeah. So Snoke's a weird one. I really need to watch Rise of Skywalker again, because I'm not... That movie kind of bored the pants off me and confused the shit out of me the one time I saw it.
Well, so the problem is that they tried to They try to answer all the questions that The Last Jedi didn't answer.
Yeah.
Or wait. Which one?
Yeah, you're right.
Which one was the eight? Yeah, eight was the last. So, yeah. I mean, and it's just, it was too much. I mean, yeah. The Last Jedi was just too much to, it kind of ruined the whole thing. J.J. Abrams should have just stayed in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah. Or like you mentioned, Mace, it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. Mace would be pretty old, though, if he's even still alive.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we're talking, he was probably in his late 50s, early 60s at Revenge of the Sith, and now we're talking 30 years later, so he'd be pushing 90.
It wouldn't be impossible.
Best case, he's right around 80.
Yeah, I mean, I could believe it. Seeing a aged Samuel L. Jackson with no hand, you know, coming back, you know, potential, you know, yeah, robot hand. You know, we don't know exactly how Grogu was taken or who took him from the Jedi Temple, because they said it was right after the Clone Wars and he survived Order 66. So somebody got him, and a potential would be Mace Windu if he survived. I mean, he only got his hand cut off, which is kind of a prerequisite for Jedi in the Star Wars universe. And then, you know, if you remember Clone Wars, when Jango Fett used the flamethrower on his cloak and he jumped, what, hundreds of feet and landed no problem. I mean, I'm sure he could take the
But he wasn't electrocuted at that time, too.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure as he was floating down, he would have had time to turn around, gather enough of his thoughts.
I'm
to
not
be
saying
able to,
he's for sure survive. Dead, but he could be alive, and I think it might be a stretch.
And this was before, Sidious had Anakin go and kill the Jedi Temple. So if he did survive, he would have had a head start, because you know Sidious literally threw him towards the head start. So he could have, you know, got there first and grabbed him and snatched him if he survived and ducked out before Anakin got there and, you know, did his thing with
like
the younglings.
Said, possible, unlikely,
not,
though.
You know, not beyond the realm of possibility. That would be a fun story, wouldn't it?
It could be. Speaking of fun stories, I really feel this is kind of, they're using this episode as a launching pad for an Ahsoka show.
Oh yeah, they're definitely doing something, because Thrawn is going to be
either a movie.
If they're smart, they're going to make a Thrawn a central point of this universe.
Yeah, and I think they're going to make him. I've read some of the books, but the books kind of take place during the original trilogy, so I really feel like Thrawn and Gideon are going to play an extremely pivotal role in establishing the First Order. And I think
what better way
you have Moff Gideon explained the part he played in it in The Mandalorian, and then you do a Ahsoka spinoff show and show Thrawn's role in establishing the First Order. What's a better way to do that?
But then where does Mando come into play? And where does Baby Yoda or Grogu come into play?
For what? The sequel trilogy?
For this whole new... Like, are they just the catalyst? Is Mando going to die off in the series and he just was the launching point for this whole Thrawn, Ahsoka, you know, storyline that's going to connect it? Like, you know, or is Mando going to be the central point? Is this going to become the Mandoverse?
No, it's not the Mandoverse. No, it's not going to become that. I mean, they can conclude Gideon's arc or his story or, you know, whatever in a certain point, and they could just take Mando elsewhere and give him a new big bad. Maybe he's having run-ins with other syndicates, or maybe he's just, you know, doing his bounty hunter thing. There's a lot of things that they could do, and I just think of the bads. I think they could use the Mandalorian to explain Gideon's role and a possible Ahsoka show to explain Thrawn's role in the New Order or the First Order.
I'm just curious with the direction. I'm just curious how they're going to do it. You know, when it came to other shows in this kind of universe realm, like the Arrowverse or even the MCU, you know, there was some level of predictability to where, you had the comics were referenced to where you had options, you had ideas.
Well, yeah, you don't have much of that here. I mean, you do have some
exactly
legend story. So no, there's not really a guide or someone to shepherd you to the answer. So it's one of those things where we could have fun speculating. Well, maybe they'll do this. Well, no, I think you're wrong, and they'll do this. That's where we could have fun with it, because you can't refer to a comic storyline to be like, well, it's likely they're going to adapt this and put it on the screen.
Well, there's still storylines that they can come from. I mean,
well, they could, just... and you know, like, and that's what they're doing with this Titan, is they're pulling from Old Republic and comics, and you know, now pulling it into the Disney canon.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm reading. I thought that was awesome when they brought up Titan, because I started reading the books and I started in chronological order of the Star Wars universe, which in this case is 35,000 years ago to the ancient temple that Mando is heading to. So the first book I picked to read is the one that's relevant to the episode. So I was super excited about that. It's called Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void, by the way, if you want to see it or read
it. You know,
it.
There's also a Dark Horse comic that I think adapted the book, and
really?
Also called Dawn of the Jedi. Yeah, probably from 10 years ago before Disney bought them out. So I think there's the book, and then there's a comic adaption.
Ooh, I'll check it out.
But I mean, there's a lot of things they can do if Star Wars decides to do an Old Republic show or a Revan show or a Darth Bane show. They can pull from those books that have already been out there and kind of adapt those and maybe change a little here and there. But with this timeline that's in between the sequel trilogy and the original trilogy, there's not a lot. I know there's some, but there's not a ton of material there, and they could, you know, it's just a guessing game.
Yep. So I'm curious to see what they're gonna do next. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we got 3 more episodes.
Yeah, and for our fans who aren't familiar with Thrawn, I imagine some aren't, but, you know, I know my dad listens to the show and he has no idea who we're talking about. So Thrawn...
I don't know. Don't forget, this was the time, you know, he was our age when this stuff was coming out, or at least original books, so he might know a thing or two about it.
He might know a thing or two. I know after he hears this episode, he'll call me and tell me I'm right or wrong, so we'll see. But Admiral Thrawn, he's one of the only Imperial officers that is non-human, because Emperor Palpatine was very xenophobic, and Thrawn is not a human. He is what they call a Chiss, which is like Chiss. I think I've only read it, so I don't exactly know how they pronounce it. But
from what I've heard, you know, some have described his species as almost like the Vulcan of the Star Trek or the Star Wars universe. Very logical, intelligent, superior,
analytical.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there's some things, I don't remember if it was a book or a comic, but he became familiar with his enemy through their artwork and was able to kind of like predict what they might do because he studied their artwork or he studied the literature. He's very, you know, like you said, he's very Vulcan-like in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
But he's blue with red eyes, so he's kind of creepy at the same time. Anyways, Thrawn, he, just to kind of give you an idea, he really, really intelligent. He was in the Navy from his species, the Chiss. I think it's like Royal Navy or whatever. And Palpatine granted him, you know, into the Imperial Academy, where he really worked his way up to Grand Admiral in like a record time. Like, way, like half the time it would take a normal person to achieve that ranking. If that. And he was actually put in charge of the TIE Defender project, which for a lot of you Star Wars fans, it's the TIE fighters, but with like three wings.
Three wings? That's weird.
Google TIE Defender.
Okay.
Or was it TIE Interceptor? I don't remember.
No, I don't think it was an interceptor. I don't think it would be an interceptor. I think that was...
No, it was the Defenders. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was kind of like three wings, but each one is like a prong.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, well, he was put in charge of that project. And in one of the books, he was actually butting heads with Director Krennic, who was in charge of the Death Star project on funds. So that's how... That is how much Palpatine trusted him in his empire, that he pretty much trusted him with the research and development of their next TIE fighter.
Hmm. So how did he become, now keep in mind, I don't know much about Thawne. I just know of him and know that he's a prominent. So why was he so dangerous? And we could go from canon or legend. Why was he the next big bad that they were going to make a trilogy out of? Well, or at least Lucas wanted to.
Like I mentioned, he is, like you mentioned also, he's very analytical. He doesn't let his emotions get the best of him. And he's very Vulcan-like, so it makes him very dangerous because he anticipates his enemies, and he's very good tactically as well. So he, all around, he's just super intelligent and just kind of anticipates.
Yeah, but what did he do post-Empire? Did he take the remnants of the Empire and try to re-seize power? Did he declare himself like the new Emperor, and that's why that they tried to stop him?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, most of his material that I read is during the original trilogy. After the Emperor died in the second Death Star explosion, I don't know.
What was he doing in Rebels? What about Rebels?
I don't remember much of Rebels. I know he was hunting Bridger, and he was working on the TIE fighter or TIE Defender project, and He was just kind of there. Like, I've only seen Rebels once, and I don't remember what he was doing in it.
Oh, so he was just making an appearance. He wasn't the prominent member then.
No, he wasn't the... He was maybe in 6 episodes.
Interesting. So this isn't... Okay, so Rebels wasn't Emperor Bonaparte. Rebels was General Bonaparte before he had seized power. So you were seeing the earlier parts of Thrawn and Rebels, and now we're getting to the how he takes power and how, you know, his rise to power.
Well, that in Rebels he was
transition of into the First Order. Interesting.
Yeah. Long story short, post original trilogy, we really don't know what happened with Thrawn. Maybe he.
I think we're about to find out.
I think we are.
I'm excited.
And I'm pretty sure he probably pulled whatever remaining fleets he could into territory that's not controlled by the New Republic and is trying to just build his forces and do it. I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, probably consolidated the remnants of the Empire into some system to control. And I mean, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah. But we'll find out. Overall, how did you like the episode? We know you said it was good.
Oh, I love this episode. This one was great. I was looking forward to doing this show. I mean, I watched it for the first time, and I was literally like just jumping up and down. I'm like, holy shit, this was fucking awesome. And that was after already seeing all the other Mandalorian episodes. So this was probably the best that I've seen so far from the Mandalorian. This
was this another Nickelback song, or did they change it up?
No, they changed it up. This one didn't feel Nickelback.
Okay.
This was a, well, I was gonna say Avenged Sevenfold, but Avenged Sevenfold is starting to become the new Nickelback, so
I'm not getting into that argument with you.
If you want to piss Steve off, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, I'm not getting in that argument because you were dead wrong. Anyways, I concur. This was a great episode. It was fun. It felt longer than it really was because, you know, the first half was
45 minute, or was it 50 minute episode this time?
It was 47, but that's, you know, 4 minutes or 5 minutes of post credits and a 2 minute recap. So,
yeah, I mean, it's still 10 minutes longer than previous episodes, though.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like 40 minutes. It felt longer. I mean, there was a middle portion of the episode that was where there was no action that kind of felt long, but it was full of a lot of information. So,
yeah, I mean, we did get a shit ton of information in this episode. So,
but I look forward to seeing hope. You know, you don't cast someone like Rosario Dawson Dawson and introduce Ahsoka live action if you're not going to launch her into either her own series of movies or her own TV show.
Disney could absolutely blow that.
They could, like, but
I mean,
I expect some announcement in the next we'll say 2 months that there's some Ahsoka show in the works. If they haven't announced it already, which I think I would know about.
No, I think it's rumored. I think because so much information dropped and so much has changed and so much has become, you know, canon, new information stuff has become canon, that, you know, they're definitely going to coming up with new shows and movies based off of this. And I think the new Star Wars trilogy might be part of that as well. Might be a little bit more background information on what we're going to be coming into, perhaps. Because it is going to be taking place in Old Republic era.
I feel like we're forever away on those new movies, though, so we'll see. It looks like it's just going to be TV shows for the next 2 years.
Well, it gives us time to catch up on all the books. And then I'm sure there's going to be another season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I heard they start filming the third season right after the new year. Or maybe, I don't think they start before Christmas. I think it's after the new year.
Yeah, see? So, Mandalorian's good enough now. I mean, Mandalorian's carrying Star Wars right now, so.
Yeah.
Should we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it,
kill
it.
Punch it!
Punch it!
Punch it!
Punch it, Huxley! Punch it! Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
Okay. What do we got in store for next week?
Well, next time on Deep Space High, we are covering Chapter 14 of The Mandalorian, the third to last episode of the season. And I'm curious to see where they're going to take it. Is it going to be him arriving on Tython, or are we going to see something else? I really don't know, because there's not a lot of information out on future episodes.
It depends. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a filler episode for this one, for the journey there. And then 7 would be them getting there. And then 8 would be the climactic Moff Gideon and Ahsoka, and maybe another Jedi come and there's a big fight scene. And then, we get a big cliffhanger for season 3. So, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
We'll see.
Well, I guess that'll do it for this week then. Thank you everyone for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next time as we continue the discussion on The Mandalorian.
And don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. Also, check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast in order to stay up with the latest of our announcements.
And be sure to let us know what you think by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. These reviews are a great help. It gives you guys better content, and we get great feedback to give you guys a better listening experience. I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. This is the way. I have spoken.